Let's ask the Lord to bless our time. Heavenly Father, we thank you today because you are kind to us and revealing yourself. We thank you today because you have been kind in even dwelling among us. It was a long road to that point, and it is a long road to when we see you face to face again. In the meantime, Father, be with us through your scriptures. Speak to us through your Spirit. Change us and mold us into people worthy of your presence, that we may be forgiven of our sins and cleansed of them, that we may be a people who bear your name proudly and strongly. We thank you, Father, for your scripture today, and we ask, Lord, that you accompany us as we drink deep from its waters. In your name we pray, amen. Jeremiah 31 is our text today as we go through the Advent readings. And I want to put them in context so that when we read these passages again in the years to come, you will, Lord willing, remember what they are about. Jeremiah is a prophet of Israel who is speaking to a people that have suffered the exile, meaning that they've been kicked out of their land. So the Assyrians have punished them with the sword, the Babylonians have oppressed them and dispersed them. They have yet to return. Jerusalem has been torn down. Jeremiah has documented that scouring of Jerusalem in the Book of Lamentations. And now we have a prophecy here to the people of Israel reminding them of the promises of God. We will be reading this passage in its entirety, Jeremiah 31, 1 through 40. So listen to it for its art, for its beauty, for its imagery. Enjoy the word of God. Jeremiah 31. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when it went to find its rest, the Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Again, I will build you, and you will be rebuilt, O Virgin of Israel. Again, you will take up your tambourines and go forth to the dances of the merrymakers. Again, you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The planters will plant them and will enjoy them. For there will be a day when watchmen on the hills of Ephraim call out, Arise, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. For thus says the Lord, Sing aloud with gladness for Jacob. Shout among the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I am bringing them from the north country. I will gather them from the remote parts of the earth. Among them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and she who is in labor with child together. A great company they will return here. With weeping they will come, and by supplication I will lead them. I will make them walk by streams of waters on a straight path in which they will not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare in the coastlands afar off, then say, He who scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd, keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and redeemed him from the hand of him who was stronger than he. And they will come and shout for joy on the height of Zion, and they will be radiant over the bounty of the Lord, over the grain and the new wine and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd, and their life will be like a watered garden, and they will never languish again. Then the virgin will rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them and give them joy for their sorrow. I will fill the soul of the priests with abundance, and my people will be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord, and they will return from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children will return to their own territory. I have surely heard Ephraim grieving, you have chastised me, and I was chastised like an untrained calf. Bring me back that I may be restored, for you are the Lord my God. For after I turned back, I repented, and after I was instructed, I smote on my thigh. I was ashamed and humiliated because I bore the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a delightful child? Indeed, as often as I have spoken against him, I certainly still remember him. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, declares the Lord. Set up for yourself road marks. Place for yourself guideposts. Direct your mind to the highway, the way by which you went. Return, O virgin of Israel. Return to these your cities. How long will you go here and there, O faithless daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman will encompass a man. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, once again they will speak this word in the land of Judah and in its cities when I restore their fortunes. The Lord bless you, O abode of righteousness, O holy hill. Judah and all its cities will dwell together in it, the farmer and they who go about with flocks. For I satisfy the weary ones and refresh everyone who languishes. At this I awoke and looked, and my sleep was pleasant to me. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast, as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to overthrow, to destroy, and to bring disaster. So I will watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord. In those days they will not say again, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone will die for his own iniquity. Each man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth will be set on edge. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from me, declares the Lord, then the offspring of Israel also will cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out below, then I will also cast off all the offspring of Israel for all that they have done, declares the Lord. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when the city will be rebuilt for the Lord from the tower of Hananel to the corner gate. The measuring line will go out farther straight ahead of the hill to the hill Gareb. Then it will turn to Goa, and the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes and all the fields as far as the brook Kidron to the corner of the horse gate toward the east shall be holy to the Lord. It will not be plucked up or overthrown any more forever. Jeremiah 31. Now, great series of statements, a lot of imagery. What does it all mean? The time that Jeremiah gave this prophecy, there was a divided kingdom. There was the northern kingdom, which was composed of Israel, and then the southern kingdom, which was Judah. So there were two different kingdoms, and they were divided because of sin. They were divided because they were not united in worship. And so God broke them up, and he tore down the cities. He tore down the houses. He tore down the temple because of sin. This was the promised land. This was a place that they were supposed to abide in permanently. And it makes you think, in a sense, of those refugees from various nations fleeing their countries that are torn apart by corruption or terrorism. I think of my own people from El Salvador who have had to flee because of crime and evil. In the 80s, they were able to get amnesty, and many Salvadorans set up shop here in the U.S. because of that. But this sort of activity of a land being destroyed and smote and smashed and crushed is what disperses Israel out. But they look back to that country and they see it as the place that was supposed to be theirs. And they say, God, you promised that. You promised that for us. Why have you taken us out of it? Being homeless, then, is the state of Israel. And I think that that's the state of humanity. That's everybody. I think that the angst that a person feels as they get older, I don't know if you've noticed this about yourself. I think a lot of us, I'm not a Gen X, and neither am I a millennial. I think the classification, I'm not sure what the classification is. Sarah gave me that classification, but I forgot it now. I don't have it in my mind now. But somewhere in the middle between Gen X and millennial is where the guy standing before you stands. And as we get older, we have an increasing sense of misplacement, an increasing sense of alienation. But that's not just us. That's everybody. Why? Because you begin to see the foundations of your life decay and die. Parents die. Grandparents die. The heroes that you have diminish in power. The things that you depended on for joy don't make you that happy as they used to. The world seems less colorful. And it doesn't feel like home anymore. Could it be that there is a home for the saint of God? Could it be that there is a place to return to? A place where we can belong. A place where joy abounds. Could it be that there is something more and beyond this? For the Israelite, exiled out in Babylon or what have you, they longed for the days, the green country, the rolling hills. They longed for this. They longed for verse 5. Again, you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. In the northern kingdom is where Samaria is. And to plant vineyards requires this. You see, the vineyard has to mature, and the fruit must not be harvested for several seasons. You can't eat from it. So you need territory, and you need time, and you need peace. The land that has peace has wine. And that's why wine represents that. That's why wine is such a great symbol of Scripture, in Scripture, of the prosperity that God gives to his people. And for the mind of this Hebrew, to hear from God, you will plant vineyards again. It's like saying to someone that is from their country, I'll pick one, saying to someone from Japan who has been exiled here in the U.S. for so long, to say that you will have the ramen of your mother again. To say to the Salvadoran, you will have the beans of your home again. There is an incomparable scent to the home country. When you go home in Central America, I haven't been to El Salvador since I was 5 years old. But when you get there, you can tell that you're there because the whole country smells like burning wood. Because everybody cooks with it. And all the food smells like that. And it's so comforting. To miss that nostalgia, childhood, comfort, joy. That is what Israel longs for. To be embraced once more. To plant vineyards again. And that is the great announcement that God has. He says, in verses 1 through 6, he says that I will be the God of all the families, not just Judah, not just Israel, because they're divided, remember? Both groups shall be my people. They have found grace in the wilderness. They will find, look at verse 2, the Israel went to find its rest. Verse 3, I have loved you with everlasting love, even though they have sinned and cheated on God. So the grand announcement of verses 1 through 6 finally says in verse 6 that the people have this joy. They say, arise, let us go up to Zion. You can plant vineyards in Samaria. There's a watchman in Ephraim, and there is a place to worship in Zion. All three places are from different sections of Israel, the northern kingdom, the southern, and now they can come together. Arise, let us go up to Zion and worship our God in this great announcement that God will, verse 4, I will build you and you will be rebuilt. So in verse 7 through 14, we're given this rebuilding on this returning to Jerusalem. We return here on the path to back to Jerusalem. And it says in verse 7, Sing aloud with gladness for Jacob and shout among the chief of the nations. Give praise. Save your people. And then he says, God, I am bringing them from the north country, which means he's uniting the north kingdom with the south once more. And the pregnant women will walk back to their homes. A great company will return. With weeping they will come to see their land once more. I will make them walk by streams of waters on a straight path in which they will not stumble. I have a theological aside, and here it is. There is a great question among Christians. What if we are saved by God and transformed? So there is a point of salvation where we're no longer the sinner that we once were. For in those things you formerly walked, in the ways of the world, we're not there anymore. Now we walk the paths of righteousness. Where does that language come from? To walk the paths of justice and righteousness. What does that mean? What is this state? Because we're not in heaven yet. And we're not necessarily in God's presence yet, per se, though he is among us through his Spirit and his Word. But there's something in the middle, isn't there? Right now, what is this? What do we call this that is in the middle? Verse 9. With weeping they will come. And by supplication, by preaching, by teaching, I will lead them. I will make them walk by streams of waters on a straight path. You're not in Jerusalem yet, brother and sister. On a straight path in which they will not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. What is the life? We are on a path back to the city of God. You might feel alien to this world. I have a friend with whom I often correspond, not through letters, but through text messages. And both of us are children of the 80s. And this world feels really wrong to us now. It just doesn't feel right anymore. We were used to Rambo and RoboCop. We don't have those anymore. And, well, we kind of do, but they're so different now. They're not like what they used to be. And as we complain like old men yelling at clouds, we note something in both of our complaints. We really miss the old days. And I think that's common for people as they age because the world becomes more and more alien the more you live in it. And that is especially true for the Christian. Because the more you live in this world, the more you discover how fallen it is. And the more you discover that your heart doesn't want to be like this. And so he is a pastor to us. He is a shepherd to us. He is a father to us, leading us by streams of water back to Jerusalem. But he says this in verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, not just to the Hebrews, not just to Israel and Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. We heard that in one of the Christmas songs, Wesley's song that we sang today. And declare in the coastlands afar off, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. This abundance, this comfort, look at this. The virgin will rejoice in the dance, the young men and the old together. I will turn their mourning into joy, comfort and joy. I will comfort them and give them joy for their sorrow. My people will be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. That is the return. We saw the announcement in verses 1 through 6, the return in verses 7 through 14. But there is still a lament in verses 15 through 22. What is this lament? In verse 15, thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. Remember, Rachel's the mother of Joseph and Benjamin. And both of them, well, Joseph first, supposedly, the brothers told Jacob that he died. And so Jacob wept for Joseph. And then Benjamin was about to be held prisoner, and so Jacob wept for Benjamin and Joseph. And he said this exact same word. He said, Rachel is weeping for her children, and she refuses to be comforted, and Jacob said, they are no more. So we are to reflect on the idea of the eradication of the people of God. And in fact, Matthew quotes this text in Matthew 2, 18. Well, 17, then one, well, 16. Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through Jeremiah was the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. So then Israel continues to suffer under the sword of violent oppressors. And Matthew says that is a continuing fulfillment of Jeremiah. But then God says, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded. They, the children, will return to the land. There is hope for your future. And how does that happen? In verse 19, something changes about Israel. I turned back. I repented. And after I was instructed, I smote on my thigh. I was ashamed and humiliated because I bore the reproach of my youth, the sin that I have committed in the time that I was prosperous, the reason you broke me. I repent. And then God says, well, good. I'm glad you repented, but get out of my face. I don't want to see you again. He could get rid of Israel now, wipe them off the face of the earth. And he has every right to do that. He has every right to do that to us, as we have sinned against God too. More so because we're pagans. We are heathens. We are not children of Israel. We deserve even less of God's affection. Although if I went on Ancestry and it said that I was 1% of Jewish descent, so I claim all of it. Actually, no, I might be lying about that. I might have made that up. But the Jewish people deserve God's attention in a sense. He said he'd give it to them. But no, he is punishing them because they have betrayed him. And we, even more so, we've always been sinners and pagans. Should he not have shunned them? Nope. Look at what he does in verse 20. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a delightful child? Indeed, as often as I have spoken against him, I certainly still remember him. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. The Hebrew is very vivid. My insides are moved for him. That God is emotionally moved for his children, the ones who have betrayed him. It is trite and cliche to say God loves you, but dear brother and sister, God loves you. And he's moved to the core for you. The grand master of all that is moved to reach for you, for his children. And so he says, my heart yearns for you. I will have mercy. Set up road marks. Place yourself guideposts. Direct your mind to the highway. It's time to come home. Come home to Jerusalem. Verse 23 through 26, the hope. Once again, in verse 23, they will speak this word in the land of Judah and in the cities when I restore their fortunes. Verse 25, I satisfy the weary ones and refresh everyone who languishes. Now then, given all of this, how is God going to do this? It really is impossible because he ends up, in the historical sense, they do come back to Jerusalem. They do end up rebuilding in the book of Nehemiah. They rebuild everything and they fall again. Something needs to change. And this is what changes. Jeremiah 31. 31. Behold, days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Which means that he is the one effecting the transformation of his people so that they don't fall again. And how sure is this salvation? Verse 35, thus says the Lord who gives the sun for light by day, the fixed order of the moon and stars for light by night. In other words, as sure as creation, as sure as the ground that you walk on, I will do this, says the Lord. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then the offspring of Israel also will cease from being a nation before me forever. Meaning, if it is that creation somehow is undone, then perhaps that's how Israel will be banished for permanently. But that's an impossible situation, for the Lord has established eternity. Verse 38, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the city will be rebuilt for the Lord. And how does he tell you? How does he say it? How does he show it to us? By giving us the borders. He tells us from the Tower of Hananel to the corner gate to the hill of Gareb, then to Goa, and the whole valley of the dead bodies and ashes, and all the fields as far as the brook of Kidron, to the corner of the horse gate toward the east. It means that he specifically defines the city. He is concerned with geography. What does that tell us? Heaven is real. And the new heavens and the new earth are real. We will walk along green country. We will take deep breaths in the clean and fast hills and vineyards. There will be fresh air and breezes, the sounds of the ocean, untarnished. The great industry of man without sin. The great artistry of man unmarred by our evil, all ruled by the King of Kings. And who is it who brings this blessing? Who is this King of Glory? In Luke chapter 1, a great prophet tells us about him, or at least a prophet tells us about the prophet who will tell us about him. Zechariah's prophecy in Luke 1. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets of old, salvation from our enemies," which means peace from the hand from all who hate us, "to show mercy toward our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, peace on the outside, peace within." What is required for peace within? "To grant us that we," verse 74, "being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High." That's John the Baptist. "For you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation." What is the salvation? What is to be delivered? What is the enemy? Sin. "Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high," the sunrise, a name for the Son of God, "the sunrise from on high will visit us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet back to Jerusalem into the way of peace." This life is one that is lived accompanied by the Son of God. This life is one lived accompanied by the Spirit of God. We move along waters, along streams, back to the city of Jerusalem, where one day we will enjoy the reign of Emmanuel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. What a hope. What a hope. Joy everlasting, songs and dancing, wine and food. Oh Lord, we long for that day. Some people don't even know that they long for that day. Reconcile us to you. Forgive us our sins to you, that we may dwell with you when that day comes. We thank you for all these things. In your name we pray. Amen.